Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Mashuda. I'm from Hudson, and I'm 17.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Books we enjoy.
Bookish things.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very excited because there are three of us here today. Sometimes
Yay.
There's four
Yay.
Of us. And sometimes there's even more. But usually there's two to four of us. And lately it's been two of us.
So we missed you.
We're so glad Mashuda's here.
Yeah.
Yay. So what have you all been up to this summer? We don't always get to catch up.
I went to New Jersey for a bit.
Whoa.
For?
A dance competition.
Yay. Was it fun?
What kind of dance competition?
Hip-hop and tap.
Hip-hop? Wow. Mm-hmm. Do you like hip-hop?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But I also got to hang out on the boardwalk, which was fun.
I've never been to the boardwalk down there.
It's really nice.
But I've been to
a lot of arcades.
A boardwalk. Cool. What have you been up to, Mashuda?
Working.
What are you doing for work?
Like, I think last week we did a performance at PS21.
Oh, cool.
And it was very fun.
And who are you working with?
Last week or?
No, who do you work with?
Oh, I work, sorry. My mind. Okay.
My mind is fried today.
Yeah.
Because too hot.
It's too hot, yeah. I work in Operation Unite.
Yay. I know there was a drumming workshop that they had at the library, so I got to see Mashuda there. And I get to see Amelia at the library, too.
Yeah.
So Amelia's been helping out with the kids' program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw her, I think, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you brought your little sister, I think.
Yeah.
Aw. Hi, little sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was helping out, and then we painted. It was fun. It was a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've mostly been working all summer, but I took a few days to go up to New Hampshire to visit my parents, and my sister and her husband and the kids were visiting, and we went up to the Lakes region and hung out up there, and we went to see Weird Al Yankovic in concert.
That's awesome.
Which was so fun. He has on this tour, he has a 41-piece orchestra backing him up.
I love that.
So it was pretty amazing. He was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knew? Well, I guess probably a lot of people know. I've never seen him live. But my niece and nephew were super into him, so we surprised them. It was fun. But anyways, I've also read a lot of great books this summer. Have you all read anything fabulous this summer?
I actually finished One of Us is Lying recently.
Did you enjoy the rest of it? I know you were liking the start of it.
I was a bit let down by the ending.
That's been a trend with your books this summer.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
What kind of movies are you guys watching?
What kind of movies? I saw Lion King yesterday. It was not great.
Oh, no. Yeah, I heard they took out the song.
Oh, they took out quite a few songs.
Oops.
And I was kind of just sitting there the entire time thinking I could instead be home watching the original.
That's a bad sign.
So I'm not sure if I should want to watch it or not, because like I heard a lot of people, and you know, like the tomato,
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Rotten Tomato rating. It's like they have like 50% or something.
I usually don't agree with Rotten Tomatoes ratings or any like professional critics ratings, but they were actually right in this one.
Yeah.
Like I thought they were over exaggerating how like emotionless the CGI animals looked, but they really can't emote at all. Made me sad.
I prefer the original
one. Was like watching a nature documentary with like some vague animation and voiceovers.
Oh, that sounds great.
I prefer the original one,
like
even though I didn't watch it.
I saw Toy Story 4 with my niece and nephew.
I never saw that.
I liked it a lot. I mean, I like the Toy Story movies. They're all great. So it was fun. And I finally saw on video, I saw the Spider-Man Miles Morales movie. I forget what it's called.
Into the Spider-Verse. It's on Netflix,
so good.
And I need to make time to watch it.
It was awesome. I'm not even that into Spider-Man, but apparently Miles Morales Spider-Man's pretty great.
Yeah.
And it made me want to read some Spider-Gwen, too.
So the original Spider-Man actor didn't act it.
Well, it's an animation.
Oh.
Yeah, it was. Okay. It's like animated as if you are reading a comic book that is moving. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I think I saw like the first like brief like sneak peek of it when I went to see Venom, and it had a sneak peek of it like at the end credits, and I thought it looked really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I heard like recently that like is there a new Spider-Man movie coming out?
There's also a live action one too.
Came out recently.
And I think the original actor, the male actor is not
well,
in
it. Yeah, they changed Spider-Man over time. I think this is the third Spider-Man in the past 20 something years.
I have no idea.
But yeah, so he was the same actor that was in Homecoming.
Yeah.
And that was in the more recent Avengers movies.
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet, but someday. But yeah. Have you read any good books this summer?
I only read two of the Bound by Books book.
Or Battle of the Books.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
It's hard.
I mix them up all the time, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Bound by Books.
There's a lot of B's involved.
Yes. B.
It should be Bound by Books / Battle of the Books.
Yeah.
So which two have you read?
I forgot.
The Hate U Give. I know you read.
What was the other one? And then... the other one with the aliens, I forgot. Hold on.
The aliens?
No, I always remind them, I forgot the title.
Aristotle and Dante?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, okay.
That one. Because it's A for aliens.
Oh.
And the universe.
Yeah, and the universe.
I was like, I don't think there's any books with aliens in them. No. But
I mean, I thought that book was sci-fi when I first read the title, too.
So I always like to remember like science fiction as aliens. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
But even though it's not about aliens. Yeah. It's just a weird word association.
That's how I remember.
That's funny.
To, you know, remember stuff.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy them?
I like the Hate U Give more.
Cool. Yeah. I like them both a lot. And I know Amelia's been reading some Battle of the Books books as well.
I read Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo. I read One of Us is Lying by... I was just repeating this to myself.
The Aristotle Dante.
Kelly M. McManus, right?
Yes. Kelly? I thought it was Karen.
Karen, maybe?
Maybe. I know.
We have to know by competition time, but it's okay to not know now.
By Miss McManus. And
Ms. McManus.
And now I'm reading The Darkest Part of the Forest by Holly Black, which is really nice so far, actually.
Is it a horror?
No, it is a fantasy. I can read the back for you if you want. In the woods is a glass coffin, and in it sleeps a boy with horns on his head and ears as pointed as knives. Hazel and her brother Ben live in Fairfold, where humans and the folk exist side by side. Since they were children, Hazel and Ben have been telling each other stories about the boy in the glass coffin, that he is a prince and they are valiant knights. But as Hazel grows up, she puts aside those stories. Hazel knows the horned boy will never wake, until one day he does. So I've gotten to the point where he has woken up. It doesn't, like, drag that out too much, thank goodness. And I thought it was interesting, like, in most fantasy books where the real world is also kind of there, usually it's the children who know that, like, fairies or ghosts or supernatural things exist, and the parents and older people are kind of, like, dismissive of it and think it's just rumors or don't believe in it at all. Meanwhile, this book literally starts first chapter right off the bat with all the kids in high school having an after football party around the glass coffin that this boy is sleeping in. Mm-hmm. Hence, like, a literal tradition that the high school has. So in this town, everyone knows that these things exist and everyone believes it without question. That's like a really interesting setting to have where everyone, regardless of age or belief, knows that these exist, to the point where I think one woman actually ends up adopting a changeling that replaced her baby. So now she's raising twins, her original son and this changeling counterpart, and that's really, really cool. So they even have some inhuman characters like in the school and living as humans too.
Cool.
Yeah, I liked that book a lot. The writing's really great too.
Yeah.
There's lots of fantastical adventures to come for you.
Yeah,
that book.
I'm very happy because usually it's just tiring to read if, like, the parents are just like, it's not real, and the kids have to constantly have to dodge around their parents when talking about, like, the supernatural. When this, you don't have that, like, barrier or restriction there. Everyone just believes in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool. The only people who really don't believe in it are tourists that come to their town, which they explain in the first chapter, too, that they have a lot of tourists because of their fair folk. And a lot of the tourists end up disappearing because they don't know how to properly deal with the more malevolent creatures in their forest.
So what do you mean disappearing?
Well, the book, like, draws from a lot of, like, not just, like, the typical fairy, like, stuff, but also, like, the more malevolent ones that were believed in a long time ago. So, like, hags, kelpies, I think, are mentioned at one point, which is really cool because kelpies are just really cool to me. They're basically horses that if you pet them, they'll stick to you and they will drag you into a pond. But one of the tourists ends up falling victim to a kelpie in, like, one of the chapters, which I think is cool. So those are, like, the disappearances that all the townspeople just accept, because if they don't mind the fairies, then it's their own fault.
Mm-hmm.
Basically is the mindset of this book. It's a morally questionable mindset, but it's an interesting mindset and sets up an interesting setting that makes you want to read more. So that's a plus.
Yay. I don't think that one's part of a series. I can't remember. Maybe it is.
There's hard to keep track. Book on the back that says, there's a little thing on the back that says, "Don't miss the coldest girl in Cold Town."
Oh, that's a different book.
Don't know if it's attached.
It's not. That was an earlier book of hers that I know Ingrid really liked back in the day when that came out. So I have a couple books I could talk about. None of them are Battle of the Books books because I read those a while ago. But I recently read a really great graphic novel called On a Sunbeam by Tilly Walden. And I read a book and talked about on the show earlier this year by Tilly Walden called Spinning, which was a graphic novel memoir. And this is not a memoir. It's a fictional book set in outer space. And the main character's name is Mia, and she has gone to this boarding school and is a freshman and falls in love her freshman year. But then something happens and she gets separated from her love. And then it cuts back and forth time between that time period in school and in the future when she's graduated from high school and has joined the crew of the ship that goes around, this team. They go around and they fix up buildings that are in disrepair throughout the universe. And she's joined the team to do that work, but also because she wants to find this person that she was separated from when she was in high school. And she wants to connect with them. So it's about her joining this team and getting to know the team and the work that they're doing, and also trying to connect with her long-lost love. And one of the things that's really interesting about this graphic novel is that there's no characters that identify as male. There is one character that uses the pronoun they, but everyone else is seemingly female. Or at least goes by she.
And this is a sci-fi setting?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a super heavy book. That was the one downside to it. It was really hard to read because it was so heavy. So I'd be wanting to read and have to, like, prop it up because it was such a big book.
Oh, like, actual like, physical weight you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant as in tone. That's interesting.
Yeah, I meant actual physical weight. Every once in a while, there's a graphic novel that's just so big that it makes it physically hard to read. But no, it was a great book. I read it fairly fast given how big it was. But this is, again, my second book from Tilly Walden, and I really have enjoyed both of them a lot. I think I maybe enjoyed this one more, but it's hard to compare a memoir, like, you know, where it's about real life, to a sci-fi story. They're just very different.
I do love books that, like, skip in the between the past and, like, the present and the future, so you can, like, almost read where they meet in the middle. My friend once told me about a play, which is technically literature, that, like, played with that theme, in which a man, it like, follows a man and a woman's relationship from the first time they met to their relationship eventually falling apart in their divorce. But it starts with the male character, the husband, at the beginning of their relationship, meeting her for the first time, and the woman is moving backwards from the divorce, and they meet in the middle at their wedding, which is, my friend told me about this play, and I can't remember what it was called, but it sounds like,
interesting.
Like a really fascinating way to tell a story, and she said it was very good, so.
Yeah, I like when stories skip around in time. Some of them do it more than this one. This one just really went between these two time periods that are pretty specific, you know, it was like a very brief period of time in both timelines. But I've seen some that do it even more so than that.
And what book is that?
Amelia couldn't remember what the play was.
Oh. Yeah, I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, but the graphic novel's On a Sunbeam by Tilly Walden, and it is fantastic. And then I'm really excited about the book I'm reading now. It's really great so far. I'm almost done with it, but I'll talk about it next week. It's called Little and Lion by Brandy Colbert, and it was a Stonewall Book Award winner. And it also has a little bit of going back and forth in time, but mostly is in the present, so to speak. It's set over a summer, and one of the characters is home from boarding school. And so some of it is flashbacks to the before, when she was in boarding school. Some of it flashes back to earlier in the childhood of the two main characters, our brother and sister. I'll talk more about that next week.
Oh, the name of the play was The Last 5 Years. I just quickly phoned a friend to find out. Or messaged her.
Phoned a friend. We'll have to check that out. Well, we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time. If you're listening on Sunday, stick around for a little bit more from us. But if you're here Thursday, have a great week. Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, 90.7 FM. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm here with Amelia and Mashuda.
Hello.
Hello. I was just too into reading the poem.
Yay.
There's nothing wrong with being too into poetry.
We're going to read some poems. Mm-hmm. We were pre-gaming.
Yeah.
During the music break. So we're going to share a few poems that we have found. I think these are all on poets.org.
Yeah.
You can find lots of fabulous poems by lots of people on lots of themes and topics.
Yeah.
I'll start with mine that I found, which is called Summer Haibun. It's by Amy Nazuka Matatil. To everything, there is a season of parrots. Instead of feathers, we searched the sky for meteors on our last night. Salamanders use the stars to find their way home. Who knew they could see that far, fix the tiny beads of their eyes on distant arrangements of light so as to return to wet and wild nests? Our heads tilt up and up, and we are careful to never look at each other. You were born on a day of peaches splitting from so much rain and the slick smell of fresh tar and asphalt pushed over a cracked parking lot. You were strong enough, even as a baby, to clutch a fistful of thistle, and the sun himself was proud to light up your teeth when they first swelled and pushed up from your gums. And this is how I will always remember you when we are covered up again by the pale mica flecks on your shoulders, some thrown there from your own smile, some from my own teeth. There are not enough jam jars to can the summer sky at night. I want to spread those little meteors on a hunk of still warm bread this winter. Any trace left on the knife will make a kitchen sink like that evening air, the cool night before, star showers, so sticky, so warm, so full of light. Mm-hmm. That was Summer Haibun by Amy Nezuka Matatil.
I have one called The Moon by Robert Louis Stevenson, which I think was shared this week because the moon landing anniversary was recently, wasn't it?
It was.
The moon has a face like the clock in the hall. She shines on thieves and on garden walls, on streets and fields and harbor quays, and birdies asleep in the forks of the trees. The squalling cat and the squeaking mouse, the howling dog by the door of the house, the bat that lies in bed at noon, all love to be out by the light of the moon. But all of the things that belong to the day cuddle to sleep to be out of her way. The flowers and children close their eyes till up in the morning the sun shall arise.
Mm, that's nice.
Yeah.
I have a poem that's called A Journey by Nikki Giovanni, 1943. It's a journey that I propose. I am not the guide nor technical assistant. I'll be your fellow passenger. Though the rail has been ridden, winter clouds cover autumn's exuberant quilt. We must provide our own guideposts. I have heard from previous visitors the road washes out sometimes and passengers are compelled to continue. Groping or turn back, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of rough spots or lonely times. I don't fear the success of this endeavor. I am raw in a space not to be discovered but invented. I promise you nothing. I expect your promise of the same. We are simply riding a wave that may carry or crash. It's a journey that I want to go.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a unique style. The author uses a lot of pause in between.
Yeah, it goes dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, instead of like switching a line.
Mm-hmm. I'll read another one. This one is called The Poet Tree by Shel Silverstein. Underneath the poet tree, come and rest a while with me and watch the way the word web weaves between the shady story leaves. The branches of the poet tree reach from the mountains to the sea. So come and sit and dream and climb. Just don't get hit by falling rhymes.
Ooh, I like that word play.
Yeah, that was fun. That was from Falling Up by Shel Silverstein, which is the Shel Silverstein that I know the least of his main books of poetry. I know Where the Sidewalk Ends and Light in the Attic very well. I think I read those like a zillion times as a kid.
I think I found one more. It's about the moon again. Cool. Well, technically this is in between the sun and moon, so it's two spatial bodies in one poem.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Padraig O'Tuama. In between the sun and moon, I sit and watch and make some room for letting light and twilight mingle, shaping hope and making single glances last eternity a little more, extending love beyond the doors of welcoming while wedding all the parted people, even sons to violent mothers, and searching all the others, finding light where twilight lingers in between the sun and moon.
Cool.
These are some really beautiful ones we got today. Mm-hmm. I really like these.
Yeah. And you can find more like these on poets.org.
Yep.
There's other sites too.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of poetry that's available online. We also have a lot of poetry at the library. It's very nice that you can borrow. Fun. But yeah, we're out of time for today. So thanks everyone for listening. Hope you have a great week with lots of quality reading time. Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
Sometimes I want to cut you down. Gotta scratch that itch, cause the time is now. I tell you that you gotta have a heart of steel. If you wanna keep up, can you afford to feel? I'm the system's wrong, gotta tear.